Just put them on.
I don't think it's too much to say, can you wear pants for a work day?
Yeah.
I think you can. I have faith that you can wear pants. I have faith in everyone. Pants for days.
Woo! All right. Well, welcome back to the My 20-somethings podcast, episode 5.
Oh my goodness. I can't believe we're on number 5. This is wild. For those of you who are new here and don't know, we are Jenna and Sophie, and we are 2 20-something best friends who started this podcast to create a community of those just figuring it all out. Every other week, we bring you advice, guest mentors, and personal anecdotes so you never have to say, I wish I knew that in my 20s.
Oh, so before we jump into this episode, I just want to preface, as always, that this is our advice based on what we have experienced and what has worked for us. Spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about job interviews and careers. So we are by no means career counselors. And again, we're just your fellow 20-somethings trying to figure it all out. We're just going to share what things worked for us to book the gig.
However, we aren't experts, it's true, but we have experienced many a job interviews in our day. And so we've gathered a significant list of do's and don'ts that you may find useful from our own experiences.
Yeah. Now, Jenna and I may have different opinions on what has worked for us. And that's okay. We're in different sectors and there's different industry standards when you're applying to different jobs. So make sure you stay up to date with what's expected and encouraged in your field. You definitely have to figure out what works for you and the best way for you to connect with the employers that you want to work for.
So for whoever's new here, I'm Jenna and I am working in the creative sector. So the creative industries, graphic design, arts, everything like that. And Sophie more specializes in working in business, commerce, and anything related to STEM.
Yeah, so listen along. We're going to drop ideas that you can incorporate into your job search strategy to book that gig.
We are air clapping hardcore over here. So let's hop right in. Our first thing we'd love to talk about is a catchphrase that I've heard Sophie use all the time, and I've really embraced it in my own life too, which is definitely should be someone's mantra when applying to jobs. And that is, your network is your net worth.
Yeah, I preach this all of the time. Having job experience is great and fine and dandy, but the connections that you make is gonna be what really converts into those jobs for you.
I think especially now in the time of social media and a world where we're all interconnected both in person and over the web, who you know and the connections you have to those people really are what make you valuable to a company or to any organization whatsoever.
Yeah. And like with that connection, it's easier than ever to network and find people that you can potentially work for or find job experiences online. But yeah, so those connections, whether it's your parent or your friend or your uncle or your dentist's son, these people are all people that you can use to convert into jobs or into experiences that will help you reach your end career goal.
Absolutely. And I don't think, you know, it's necessarily nepotism or anything like that. If you're just reaching out to someone that you might know or that you might have a connection to and say, hey, I've heard you know this person well. Do you possibly have a contact for who I could reach out to? That's how you form connections, and that's how you get it in places. That's how you make connections between one job to another. It's necessary in this industry, and avoiding it is just going to hurt you.
Exactly. When someone asks you to connect them with someone within your network, it means that you can ask them later on down the line to connect you with someone within their network. Those cross-network connections are so valuable, and networking really isn't just about helping other people out.
From a personal experience, my most recent job that I got because I ran into someone on the street that I knew of and that I hadn't spoken to in a very long time. And it was just a matter of having a conversation and them saying, oh, I knew you're working in this field. Are you still working there? And I said, yes. And I'm actively looking for work. So let me know if you know of anything. And one thing led to another, and that booked me my job. And this doesn't have to be someone you're very close with. This was someone I hadn't seen in years, but it was just a quick interaction that led me to a longstanding position.
Yeah, I was the exact same way. And I think this has to do with like how to make connections. And I remember I was a competitive dancer and I was backstage at our competitive showcase, which is when you run numbers on stage before you go to competition. And one of my older dance teachers, we were just chatting And it eventually turned into a position at her company. And I've now been with them for almost a year, which is, it's someone that I never would have thought to connect with and ask for a job, but she was someone in my network and it just kind of panned out.
So let's go into how you make these connections, because it's definitely easier said than done. Mm-hmm. It's not just someone you have to necessarily know from Adam. This is something you do along the way and throughout your life, and your network consistently grows as you grow older and as you expand mm-hmm. who your outreach is.
Yeah, I think there's different types of networking. So there are classic networking events that if you're at a school are open to not just business students, they most of the time, there are some that may be specific just to business students, but there are networking events specific to your school or even networking events for college students in general. There's a lot of those. You can network on LinkedIn. You can network within your own family and just almost just saying what you've been up to. You have no idea, but most of the people that you're interacting with, whether you are conscious of it or not, you are networking.
I find a great way to network is if you're in a class at a school, let's say, mm-hmm. and you know, you hear a professor that you really like, or a guest speaker. My program specifically does a lot of great guest speakers that are really relevant in the industry. And this is someone that you either admire or that you have any form of a connection with, whether it's, I like what they're doing with their life, or I like, you know, what they studied and what it led them to, anything like that. I would say your first step, and this is going to lead us into a long conversation about how much we love this specific site, mm-hmm. is to add them on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Yeah. So yeah. For those of you who don't know, LinkedIn can easily be described as the Facebook for academics, professionals, anything like that. And it helps you form networking connections with both the people in your industry and also beyond.
Facebook for business. Yeah. LinkedIn has so many great resources and there's job postings on there. You can connect with anyone. You don't need to specifically know the person. It's not really like Facebook where it's a more of a private site. It is about making connections, and you can connect with someone from a company that you want to work with, and chances are that they'll accept you and you can message them and reach out. It's a formal business platform, but people encourage networking and connection on there.
So I would say if you're listening to this right now and you're sitting next to your phone with a pen and paper taking jot notes, the first bullet point you should have should be make myself a LinkedIn account.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't need a professional headshot or anything like that. Make whatever you can to make yourself look like the most professional packaged person you can, and you're already halfway there.
Yeah, exactly. I think, Jenna, can you also touch on some of the features that LinkedIn has that you were telling me about earlier?
Yeah. So LinkedIn has so many things that I think they don't even advertise enough. And I think they should absolutely promote more because they are fantastic and really underrated. One of the things I recently found out was that not only can you upload your resume to LinkedIn directly for them to send out to different employers, but you can also complete online courses and also qualification tests to prove to potential employers that not only are you saying on your resume, I'm really good at using Excel, I have proven because I've taken an online quiz that I am sufficient enough to consider myself a pro. So it actually gives you a test that you can fill out, and then LinkedIn can back you in saying, nah, she's good, hire her.
Yeah, exactly. I think also just right now during like a time where things are so virtual and centric online, there is absolutely no harm. And like, what do you have to lose by connecting with someone that you look up to and sending them a message and saying, hi, my name is whatever your name is. I'm really inspired by the work you do. Would you be willing to come on or to hop on a Zoom call with me for 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, whatever it may be, for a coffee chat? I'd love to know more about what you do. And chances right. are they'll say yes, because these people look for opportunities to mentor people. And you got to ask. They're not just going to message you being like, hey, you're 20. Do you want some mentorship?
Yeah.
Ask for what you want.
LinkedIn is also a great way to stay up to date with your peers. Mm-hmm. So I find it great to know, oh, this person who I went to school with is now doing this. That's an interesting career choice. I wonder how they got there. I'm interested in something similar. Let me reach out to them to figure out exactly who they spoke to and what they did to reach that point.
Yeah. I think it's a great, like, Facebook is a place to connect with your aunts and uncles that you don't see very often, but LinkedIn's a really great place for some more professional development.
Right. I think the last major point you've got to have on your, you know, to-dos about how to network is that networking is a give and take situation. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you want to do to others what you want done to yourself. And so just like how you want someone to reach out to you and say, hey, I thought of you for this job and I recommended you, or hey, I have a person, I know you were talking about wanting a job in this industry and I have a person in mind who you might want to reach out to, you should be absolutely reciprocating that and doing that to others. So the more you do it to others, the more they will then say, I owe her one or I owe him one, and return that back onto you.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I guess the last thing that I'll say about how to make connections is to not exclude anyone in your network. So if you're at a dinner party and your dad's friend has asked you, oh, like, what are you studying in school? And for me personally, I say, oh, I study marketing, and they'll potentially apply that to what they're working. You can word for word say, and I encourage you to write this down, well, if you ever need a marketing or a blank intern or someone for your marketing department, let me know. I'd love to help you guys out. Or you can say, I'd love to learn more about what you do. And chances are they're going to be like, oh, that'd be great. Because it's hard to find talent. It's hard to find people. And they're constantly looking to scout great people. And they already know you. They know that you're an amazing person.
Viable, yeah.
Viable, who would be great on the team because you've just had a great conversation with them.
What I love about networking is that, yes, there's a sense of professionalism in there, but it also can be incredibly casual and conversational. Mm-hmm. And so even just doing what Sophie said, and just in your, you know, daily catch up with someone saying, hey there, how you doing? Let's just talk business for a sec. It makes it so much more fluid and so much easier to do than having to have a full package sent out to everyone in a much more, you know, strict manner.
Exactly. And like, that's how I got my current job. I was backstage, like I said, with my dance teacher. And I said, wow, it looks like your company is doing really well. If you, and I almost, not as a joke, but I didn't really, I was just kind of having a conversation. I said, well, if you guys ever need a marketing intern, let me know. I'd love to come on board. And I never thought that it would turn into a full-time position as their marketing coordinator. And it developed into that. So after you say that, my number one tip is that you need to follow up with almost next sentence saying, let's stay in touch. Can I connect with you on LinkedIn? Mm-hmm. So that you get that business.
LinkedIn again.
Mm-hmm. And then they see your name again when you connect. And then you send a little follow-up being like, here's my email. Let me know if anything comes up.
It's very subtle. It's not like you're bugging them, but it's the more that you can get them to start thinking about you, the more that the next thing they need, and they go, you know what I just thought of? And your name pops in.
Exactly. So that's the script. Write it down. Well, if you ever need a blank position, let me know. And I'd love to help you guys out or learn more about what you do. Let's stay in touch. I'm going to connect with you on LinkedIn.
Awesome. I will totally be writing that down personally and stealing it from you for my next interview.
Perfect. Love it. All right. Let's talk a little bit about resume tips.
Because
there's a lot of things out there and it's hard to know exactly what to do. So
before you apply for your very first job, you need to create what is a 1 to 2 page document, preferably one page, that summarizes your work experience, who you are, your accreditations, and your possible references of who they can reach out to confirm you're the best person for the job.
Mm-hmm. So this is like a breathing, working document. And what I personally do is I create almost a master sheet with everything I've done almost forever. And then when I go to apply to a job, I kind of pick and choose things and put it into my templated resume that I send out to people that's a little bit more catered to the job that I'm applying to.
Yeah. So that's a very important tidbit. This idea that sometimes too much information on a resume can actually hurt you rather than help you. You only really want to include what's relevant. And so if you're applying for a catering job, they don't really care that you were a camp counselor in 2011. They only want to know why would you be good for that specific job. So having that master list basically lets you pick and choose from your whole big collection of everything you've done in your life. What might they be impressed by?
Yeah. And to be fair, when you were 17 years old, you started your own catering company and you ran that for a year on the side in high school, but you're applying to a catering company now. Yeah, that was a while ago, but that's something that's impressive that you did a while ago. That's applicable. So that's okay.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So that being said, if you're in university or past university and have job experience from this current time of your life, it's time to take your high school or your older stuff off of that document because you want to keep it relevant and current.
Right. So that's, what goes back to the idea that it's a working document. It's constantly adapting with you. And if you have, you know, let's say you only have room to put 5 things, pick the 5 job experiences that are the most recent, meaning they've been done in the last 5 years. and are the most relevant, meaning they are applicable to what you are applying for in terms of the skills you earned from them.
Mm-hmm. And when you're putting down job experiences on your resume, you want to order them from like most recent at the top to least recent at the bottom, not most impressive to least impressive, because they want to know what you've done recently. They'll still read down, but you just want to make sure that it's super clear and chronological for them.
Here's the fun thing about a resume. It's a place where you can get incredibly creative in its presentation. Mm-hmm. So yes, there are some certain standards about how generally the template should look, but you know, what exact font you use or what coloring you use is totally up to you. And I find it, as a creative, a great way to express myself and for them to know my personal style before even meeting me.
Exactly. I have one resume that is like Times New Roman, super classic, old-fashioned, clear. And then I have a whole other resume that is, it has my photo on it. It's a little bit more graphically designed. I have two of them and they say the same things. They're just presented differently and different employers will react differently. I've had one employer where I sent my Times New Roman one to them and they asked me to send them a creative one, like word for word. And luckily I was prepared for it and I just sent it off, but it's a good idea to have both of them if that's something that is so like positive or encouraged in your field.
True. And this is not something you have to invest a lot of money in, no. Even a lot of time. It can be a very quickly made document on any site, whether that be Canva or Photoshop. Mm-hmm. You can even use, you know, Microsoft Word. It's very simple to do. You search up a template on Google and pick the one that's your favorite. As long as it's clean and easy to read, they're perfectly fine no matter what they look like.
Absolutely. And then I think we've touched on this, but just make sure you don't put your whole life story onto that resume. Interviewers, frankly, are not going to read your whole damn resume. They don't have the time, especially if there's a ton of applicants for this job. They're going to look pretty much straight to your job experience. And if they see head of spirit council in 10th grade, which congratulations, if you were the head of spirit council in grade 10, that just might not be something that they're so interested in. So they're going to move on. Keep it short and sweet. Give yourself a chance to get it like looked at a second time so that they can read all the other stuff on there.
The other way to look at it is that you want to book an interview with them. But mm-hmm. if you've already told them everything about yourself in your resume, you're going to get to that interview and they're going to say, yeah, that's great. Why did we do this? This is boring. You want to be able to get them interested enough in you, but wanting to know more. And you want to be able to provide them with that more in that interview.
Yeah. They'll probably ask you, tell me something about you that's not on your resume. If you put it all on there.
Nothing.
Yeah. You know, it's all on there. They don't want that.
You seem boring.
Exactly. So I guess that being said, let's move on, Jenna, to some tips for virtual interview success.
Yeah. And many of these are applicable for both virtual interviews, but also mm-hmm. in person. But we specifically structured some of these to be specific to virtual because, you know, in the climate we're in right now, most likely your interviews are going to be via computer cam.
And even like post COVID, I still think that many interviews are still going to take place virtually. And I know that it was a trend before COVID. So it's still good to be prepared because they're applicable in both situations.
Right. So our first point that we have on here is to do your damn research. And by that, we mean you don't have to write a paper about this company, but do enough research about who they are, what they stand for, what their mission and vision is, and you know exactly what the job is that you're applying for before you walk through the door or obviously open up your computer. So that they know you are serious enough about this, that you spent the time learning about them so they didn't have to explain it to you.
Yeah, that's so important. Our second point is to prepare. And that goes along with research, but also for the actual interview. Research some common questions because they're probably going to be researching questions too. And maybe ask your mom or dad or sister or friend to do a mock interview with you just so you feel a little bit more prepared for when you actually get onto that call.
Our number three is to clear your space or wherever you're having the interview beforehand so you can be focused and avoid distractions during the interview. Having a clear setup just makes you ready to be professional and have a calm sense in your mind. And it sets you up for success.
Make sure that your dog isn't gonna distract you and jump up onto you.
If you live with your family, tell them, hey guys, I'm doing something where I'm gonna need, you know, a little bit of privacy for an hour or so. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Our fourth tip is don't panic. They can tell when you're nervous. They just want to have a chat with you to figure out what your strengths are, if you're going to be a right fit, and if you're going to fit in with the culture of the company. They're not going to ask you to know how to do every single little thing about the job. They understand that there's a learning curve there. They're trying to see if you're someone that they can work with that will fit the position.
I've also been to interviews before where the interviewer has expressed to me that they're nervous too.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they're worried about making a good impression for you and wanting you to work there. So they get just as nervous as you do. And the calmer you can be, the calmer you make them. And I'm sure they'll appreciate that.
Exactly.
Number five is to test your technology ahead of time. And again, this is much more specific to doing virtual interviews, but you know, just to have a smooth experience where you don't have to have any stress, make sure your webcam's working, your mic, your Wi-Fi is all set up, just so that there are going to be no blips along the way. The smoother it can be, the better you'll perform.
Remember that if it is a virtual interview during COVID-19, they're working at home too, and they understand that technical difficulties happen. So don't stress so much if things go wrong, because they've been there too. Number six, and this is a little tidbit that I use, is to put a little sticky note on your computer with a little reminder saying, like, sit up straight or posture or no likes and ums. It just might help you calm down when you see that, to like just adjust your seating a little bit more if you're a little bit stressed. You could even put their company mission on there just to make sure that you're touching base there. Just a little reminder. You could give yourself a little affirmation like you're going to do great to calm your nerves.
Number seven, dress to impress. Even if it's online, dress as if you were in person. Wear what you want them to know you as, which is a professional, badass businesswoman.
Woo!
Even if you're online, even if you're doing it via webcam, I'd still suggest wearing pants. Mm-hmm. We've seen way too many stories on the news where, you know, the desk is covering them and then their dog barks and they have to go get the dog and, you know, they're in their underwear. And it's just, avoid it from happening. Easy solution. Put on some nice work pants. They may not be the most comfortable, but for the hour you have to do it, I think you can manage.
It's a little different during like a meeting. If you don't wear pants, still encourage it. But if it's an interview, just put them on.
I don't think it's too much to say, can you wear pants for a work day?
Yeah.
I think you can. I have faith that you can wear pants. I have faith in everyone. Pants for days.
Woo. Number eight is to pay attention to your body language. So a little something that is very specific to virtual is when you're actually interviewing, you want to look into your computer's camera instead of looking at yourself in your little box. If you look into the camera, it makes them feel like you're so much more connected to them and less self-conscious about what you're looking. It's a tiny little tidbit for confidence. And I know I'm a victim of looking at myself into the camera all the time, but it'll just bring you up a little notch. The other thing that you can do is put a pile of books underneath your computer to make yourself sit up taller. I know that there's no computers under mine right now and I'm out of the camera screen. So keeping your arms uncrossed, sitting up straight, trying not to fiddle with your hands underneath the camera. Those are all things that will really improve your body language.
So have you heard of RBF?
No.
Stands for resting bitch face.
Oh, I know that.
Yes. So resting bitch face, for anyone who doesn't know, is basically when your natural resting face, where you're not putting effort into smiling or frowning or doing any simple emotion. And you naturally have what's called a bitchy glance, which is usually just looking like you're snarling or looking angry. And it's not intentional, but often people who have a resting bitch face come across looking mean or, you know, disrespectful, unapproachable. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So if that's you, and if you've ever been told that before, and I've had that sometimes too, put in the extra effort to make sure that even when you're resting, even when you're not actively speaking, your face looks warm and welcoming and kind and respectful.
Exactly. That's great.
Number nine is that you should think through each answer you say before you speak. You are totally allowed to pause in an interview, and you can even ask for a second to brainstorm. They appreciate the fact that you are putting the time and effort into thinking about your answers instead of just, you know, recycling what someone else has told you to say. And so I've definitely in an interview said, that's an interesting question. Give me a sec to just like think through what I want to say, just so that I'm making sure it's very succinct. And they'll appreciate it and they'll say, take your time. I guarantee it.
Yeah. And if you don't like understand the question fully, just ask them, could you just repeat that? Or do you mean this? Or you can repeat the question back to them. If they say like, what's something that you like to do? You can say, What's something that I like to do at work or in my personal life for a little bit of clarification? That's okay. Right.
They want to know that you are intuitive enough to think deeply about what they're asking you and even expand on it. And that might require more clarification.
Good. Exactly. Number 10, you know it, we love it, is to be authentic.
That's our motto.
Woo. They are looking for someone who has the expertise, but also the attitude that they can get along with. Fitting into company culture and what they've already set there is going to be something that they're looking for in you. And that's not to say that just because you're one way doesn't mean that you can't fit in, but they are looking for a specific person with skills and attributes. And if you're not the right person for the job, you typically probably won't be happy in it. So be yourself. Don't try to pretend to be someone else or what they're looking for. Be authentic, be true to yourself, and they'll probably like you more for it.
I find that the best interviews are the ones where you can make them laugh or smile. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean you should come into the interview, you know, with a stand-up routine prepared, but the more you can be, the more they're going to feel comfortable and let their guards down in front of you as well. Number 11, ask questions when they ask you, do you have any questions? Which usually comes at the very end of an interview. You should always answer with, yes, I do. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have 50 questions prepared, nor should you be asking them 50 questions, because if you really have that many questions, you probably haven't done enough research beforehand. Mm-hmm. But if you ask a question, they definitely believe that you are interested enough to come prepared with questions about where they are going or who they are, and also that you've been listening enough in the interview to want to expand more on it and keep your time going.
We've all been there when they ask and you say, no, I'm good. And it's kind of awkward.
Right. So
have a question in your back pocket that you can use.
What's your favorite question you ask?
I have a few that I have in my back pocket. I think I'll preface this with it. You have to choose one that's appropriate. So yes. One of my favorite questions that I like to ask is, do you have any further questions about my resume? But if they've already said, hey, we have this question about your resume, it's a little awkward if it's not the right situation to ask that question.
The good one about that question too is it encourages them to go back to your resume. Uh-huh. So the more you're getting your name in their heads, the better. Mm-hmm. I really like asking the question, what are your future plans for your company? And that can be in the next 1 year or the next 5 years, because it shows that you're interested in growing with the company, but you're also interested in the company's success overall, whether you're involved in it or not.
Yeah, that's a great one too. A few other questions that you could ask are there any challenges that I specifically expected to take on during my employment here? And that could be like, are they having a specific problem right now that they need solved? Like just a little bit of preference. Cause if they say that, you could say, oh, well, I've actually done research in this, or I've tackled this before. And it's that conversation starter.
Absolutely.
And then I guess a last one that you could ask that could always be used is, have I answered all of your questions? And making sure that if there was a question they asked where they're like, oh, we didn't really get the answer to that one, they can re-ask it, giving them that opportunity.
100%. And just by doing that, you've expressed to them that you are a good communicator and that you are good at, you know, fact-checking everything you've done and making sure everyone's on the same page at the end of any meeting.
Yeah. Number 12 is to follow up afterwards. After your interview, be sure to send a quick thank you email, whether it is virtual or in person, it really doesn't matter. This is a standard for any interview or any time that a professional has given you, because they've taken time out of their day to talk to you. So make sure you send them a quick email, and especially in that interview, just say, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. It'll let them know that you're respectful of their time and end the interview on a good note.
And last time, say it with me, what does it do? It keeps your name in their heads.
Ah, yes. One more time.
Sophie just tried to say it with me.
I don't know where you were going with that.
You're like,
I thought we were going to say, be prepared.
That too. Okay, number 13, our very final one for the day. Be prepared that you may not be the right fit for the company, and that's okay. Rejection is a part of life. It's unavoidable, and everybody goes through it at one point. Learn from it, grow from it, and better yourself from it. We all get rejected. We all get the no email. It happens. But if you fixate on it, you're only going to get yourself stuck. So I hate to put you on the spot, Soph, but I want to know, do you have any embarrassing interview stories? We've all gone through it.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh, this was one. Okay. So to preface this was not my finest moment. I was not in an actual good headspace for an interview. I had recently experienced a death of a loved one. So I was a little bit emotional. My life kind of revolved around that. And I went for this interview and I can't remember what the question was, but it was who had inspired you. And in my head, that was the only person that I could think of. And I kind of went on and I started crying in the middle of my interview. And it wasn't my fault. Like, that's not how I am. It was just so fresh. And the interview had already been booked pre. And it was just such an emotional time for me. And I didn't get the job, not for that reason. It was because it was a seasonal position and I had other things going on is the reason. But again, that was the most, I felt like so crappy after that. Again, like, I mean, you can't fault me. I was being authentic.
Right.
But it was such an emotional time for me. I was not in the right headspace for an interview. In hindsight, I probably should have just canceled it, but I really wanted this job. I'm glad I didn't get it in the end because it wouldn't, like, it didn't fit in with my plans. This was a few years ago, but I will never forget that. And I think it confirmed the importance of being in the right headspace.
Exactly. That just gave me secondhand embarrassment.
Oh, and like, it must've made them so uncomfortable. It was just, oh.
But you know what? They'll always remember you. You will now be their story of what was their most uncomfortable interviewing story.
I know. It was just such a not my finest moment.
That's okay.
Okay, I shared mine. You share yours.
Okay. So I've had a few just because I think I'm just like, when I get nervous, sometimes like the thoughts don't go through, I guess, the frontal part of my brain. They just kind of come from the back out through my mouth. And then I'm like, did I say that? But the one I can remember offhand was I went for an interview and I'd come in and someone had asked me something like, do you want a glass of water? And I said, no, thank you. I'm okay. And then she said something like, are you cold or something? And I said, no, I'm good. Thanks. And I guess it was just the repetitiveness of saying, no, thank you. I'm good. No, thank you. I'm good. And waiting and waiting. And then they let me into the interview and he said, hi there, how are you? And I responded, no, thank you. Sophie's eyes, if you could see them right now, she looks shocked. It did happen, but here's the good thing. I booked the job.
Ooh.
So sometimes even when you mess up royally, you become so memorable in their eyes because I did laugh it off. And I told her, I was like, oh, sorry. I was just thinking about other things, that they actually keep thinking about you enough to offer you the job.
Well, it's funny too, because like I would be totally comfortable with saying, sorry, I'm just a little bit nervous right now. Right. Just bear with me. And that's okay. But that's really, no, thank you.
No, thank you. Hi, how are you? I honestly is how I was feeling, like not doing it today, but it happens to everybody. And you know, sometimes you're in the situation of Sophie where it's just,
at least you didn't cry.
I didn't cry. That's true. But sometimes even with your stupidest, silliest moments, it still works out. So there's no perfecting a job interview, but there are some tips and tricks to getting yourself to a place where they just become more natural and more comfortable. And even sometimes they can be fun.
If you don't meld with the interviewer, which is probably someone you're going to work with, then why do you want the job at the end of the day? Right. So glad we shared my embarrassing story.
I'm so glad too. Cause now if I need something to laugh about, I'm going to think about that.
It was so not a funny moment. Like at the time it was so upsetting, but now I can laugh back on it. But still, just a reminder to everyone, if you're not in good headspace, just cancel.
Absolutely. So if you have a specific gig that you're pining to book, don't sweat it. You've got this. Use our tips, use our guide we've given you, and we know you're going to kill it.
Remember, if you didn't get this one, there's probably a reason. Maybe you weren't the right fit for the job, or frankly, maybe the job wasn't the right fit for you. Either way, everything happens for a reason, and you'll eventually fall exactly where you're meant to be. Just don't give up.
We hope you really enjoyed this episode. If you made it to the end, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and give us a rating on all our major streaming platforms. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and check our brand new website, www.my20somethingspodcast.com.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that we helped you book that gig, and we can't wait to see you next week.
You've got this. We have so much faith in you. Have a great, great week. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.